everybody. It's really good to be back and talking to you again on this Palm Sunday. So the first thing I think we'll do is we're going to have a look at the passage before we go any further, and we'll have a look and see what God's Word says. So I'm going to be reading from John 18, 28 to 19, 16. So that's 19 to 16. So let's have a little go at it. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat him down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. It was the day of preparation of Passover, Passover week, about the sixth hour. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. So why should we follow Jesus and not any other religion? This is an important question for believers and non-believers alike. For believing Christians, it is a fundamental question, as it is central to our faith. And in today's world, there are several major religions that compete for dominance. So why should people choose Christianity over other religions? And the more you go into it, it soon becomes clear that this question is not only central to our faith, but to our mission to the world as well. We need to answer this question if we are to be successful in our evangelism. So today, we are going to look at 5 reasons to choose Jesus over gods and over other gods and belief systems. Now, the first one is the Jewish people were waiting for a Messiah. They already knew that a Messiah was on the way. And I want to concentrate on the donkey when I think about this one, because Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on a donkey, the humble creature of burden, a donkey that was nothing special. He was a workhorse. He was a type of animal they used for work. Certainly not a symbol of power or anything. But the Jews were expecting the Messiah, the king, to come on a war horse, not a donkey. But Jesus came on a donkey. And the donkey, in many ways, was a sign that Jesus was bringing in a kingdom from heaven that was about peace and love. Something that he was prepared to die for. And this kingdom was coming in with love, not hate. And although Jesus was the king of this kingdom, it was not one of dominance. It was one of servanthood. And secondly, he didn't come to simply bring the truth. He was the truth. Reminds me of the beginning sections of John, of the Word and the Word. And that is special in Jewish things. Jesus was God. That whole passage is telling us that Jesus was God. He was the very truth itself. And this is why he distanced himself from other teachers. So we don't really see Jesus in the Gospels interacting with any of the other teachers. He engaged with the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they asked him questions, but he didn't really engage with any other teachers that were around at the time. He very much distanced himself. And I want you to get a hold of this concept that Jesus was effectively God in skin. And Christianity is very unique in this way, because it is the only religion or faith in which God himself appears on earth. In all the other faith systems around the world, in Islam, Judaism, Hindus, Sikhs, they only get their, if you like, their words, their books, etc., from prophets and visions and things like that. So, for example, in Islam, they have the prophet Messiah, the prophet Muhammad. And he sort of gave them he had all these visions, and he wrote the Quran. Of course, it was written by other people as well, but he is their central kind of figurehead, apart from Allah, their God. They don't have a Jesus like we do that says, hey, I'm God. Or at least gave that indication. So Jesus taught, he acted and spoke on behalf of God. It came directly from his Father in heaven. It was like an open telephone line. So you have a phone call with someone and you hear them directly. It's a little bit like, for those of you who are on Zoom and Facebook, you're hearing through an electronic device, but you are hearing directly from me. You're not hearing, I'm not saying it to Steve, and then Steve is saying it to you. You're hearing it directly. And the third reason has to do with the claim that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, we have to be careful. In fact, I've made a little bit of a mistake earlier on myself, because Jesus didn't make this claim. Jesus came to be the Son of God. It was actually the Jews who made the claim. What Jesus talked about was his dependence on God rather than usurping God's place. Jesus talked about his relationship with his Father And he submitted to his father. He obeyed his father. He respected his father. And what he claimed was a unique and special relationship with his father. And he also claimed that he had been given a special mission from his father that only God could do. And that was the forgiveness of sin. We're going to come on to that in a little bit. And fourthly, Jesus is the source of power. I want to think about Pilate in this little section. Because here was Pilate, the governor. He had this man that the Jews had brought before him. And of course, Pilate had great power. He was governing the people, including the Jews. And he was a Roman. And of course, the Romans occupied Palestine. But one of the things, and we see the fear in the passage actually, that the Jews were, not the Jews, the Romans were absolutely petrified of, was uprisings. They knew that just under the surface, bubbling away, the Jews were desperate to get their land back again. There'd already been uprisings and revolts and riots, and the Romans had to kill it all down, battle it down, keep it down. So when the Jews came with this Jesus, this was a problem. This was a real problem for Pilate. He had to deal with it. And it's ironic in a way that Pilate was claiming all this power and telling Jesus, I have the power over whether you die or live. And yet Jesus had even more power. You see, only Jesus could free us from our sin. Now, we as people, we can try and be good in front of God. We can try under our own strength to be good in front of God, but we can't because of our sinful nature. And only Christ can actually free us from that nature. And obviously, next weekend, we'll be going into how he did all of that. I'm not going to steal the thunder of next weekend. I'm going to leave that for next weekend. And finally, Jesus died instead of us. I want to think of Barabbas in this bit. Barabbas had been one of the people that had tried to revolt up, to try and get Palestine back for the Jews. And I wonder how he felt when he was freed instead of Jesus. And he's one of the people that we kind of hear about every year, but we never think an awful lot about. We never think about what it must have been like for him to have been freed on that day before Passover, to have been let go. Maybe he got a flogging before they let him go. We don't know. We're not told. But he was essentially let off the hook. Right, off you go. You're freed. And Jesus died instead. Now, I suspect that Barabbas had heard about Jesus and heard about the work that he was doing. It probably travelled through the grapevine. He knew of Jesus, and Jesus, he knew, was taking punishment instead of him. Jesus died instead of him. So I wonder how he felt. Relief? Maybe a pang of guilt that an innocent man was dying instead of him? Maybe a whole mixture of feelings. We're not told what happened after that to Barabbas. We're not told whether he went on and tried to have more uprisings or whether he went back and sort of settled down and went on the straight and narrow, as they say. We're not told. All we know is that he was freed. Freed to go and live his life, however that was. But Jesus died instead of him. And we know, and we'll be again looking at this more next Sunday, we know that Jesus died for us as well. And in no other religion does God die for us, to make us clean. In other religions, you have to follow the rules and offer the sacrifices or follow these very strict rules of you mustn't do this and you mustn't do that and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. But in Christianity, we simply have grace. The situation between Barabbas and Christ is an example of pure grace. Jesus took that punishment and Barabbas got free. He went on his way to live his life. I suspect it probably changed Barabbas for the good. I wonder if he went away and thought of it and thought, wow. We don't know what Barabbas thought after. I mean, he probably heard the rumours this Jesus was crucified and, he was raised to life after 3 days. Maybe even Barabbas was one of the people in the crowds that we know saw Jesus when he rose again. We don't know. I'm only surmising there. We're not told. I wonder if he was. And I wonder what he thought. God's died for me. What does this all mean for us today in 21st century Britain with a pandemic to deal with? One of the things that I would argue is that we need to be God in skin for people. We need to act and behave as if we are God's representatives. Rather like Jesus. We need to follow Jesus' example. And when people ask us, why do you follow Jesus? We need to learn the reasons that I've outlined. We need to learn those special reasons why we should follow Jesus and not another faith system. And if we can behave in a truly God-like manner, then we will stand out among the other faiths. We will stand out as the faith that really gives hope to the world, gives hope to Croydon, gives hope for the future in what is for most people at the moment a very uncertain future. We know that Europe is on the verge of a third wave. And we don't know whether this will be the last wave or whether there'll be a fourth and a fifth wave. We don't know. I suspect at some stage this will start to die down, but we just don't know when.
We know that there is hope on the horizon, the vaccination program, they're really getting through people. They said that I think about half the population has now been successfully vaccinated, or at least they've had their first dose. I think a lot of people are waiting for the second dose still. But we need, and I want you to leave you with this thought today. Are you prepared to be Jesus in skin? Are you prepared to be God in skin? To bring hope, to bring encouragement to the people around you and further afield. Amen.